Naomi Ishiguro's debut novel, Common Ground, is about the friendship of two young men, Stanley and Charlie. When they meet on the local common in a small town in Surrey, Stanley has no idea that Charlie is a traveller or Romany. Even though Charlie is a few years older than Stanley, they develop an unlikely friendship. Charlie encourages Stanley to stand up for himself, while Stan finds a whole new lease of life in the traveller way of living. But of course, family, society and other people disrupt their friendship. Naomi Ishiguro joins me now. So Naomi, Stanley and Charlie come from very different worlds, yet they are drawn to each other. How's that?
Thanks for having me, first of all.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, I think that was something I was really interested in exploring with the book. I really wanted to make it a story about friendship and solidarity between people across cultural boundaries and from what you would think would be very different worlds. So I think that was what I sort of went into the whole project, sort of wanting to celebrate and really explore.
So just digging in a little bit to Stanley and Charlie, they're both outsiders in their own way. Could you explain how that is?
Yeah, so Stanley he's younger and he's quite an awkward teenager and he is struggling with bullies at school and he's the scholarship kid at this big fancy private school and he's struggling to fit in and all the other kids have been there longer than he has and he feels very lonely and his father's just died. So things are kind of quite difficult for him and his relationship with his mother is getting trickier. And then Charlie is a couple of years older and he's much more charismatic and much more confident and seems to fit much more in his world. But he also has a sort of more complicated relationship with his father and with his family and has never quite felt that he fits completely in sort of the traditional Romany world and always has a sort of foot in one world and a foot in the other. So they definitely sort of find a home with each other in a way.
When they meet up, Stanley seems very unaware that Charlie is a traveller or a Romany. And really, as people suggest to him through being ignorant and insulting of Charlie, he seems quite unaware and ignorant of this big prejudice that there is against travellers. Was it important for you to have Stanley as a quite innocent character looking into the prejudice that was going on around him?
Definitely. I wanted him to be kind of, yeah, almost this sort of naive character who doesn't see that and comes into it with no prejudice. So just as he's 13 when the book opens. And I think often when you are that age and if you have been quite sheltered, you don't sort of have, there are, some of us just don't have society's prejudices yet and are sort of come at people fresh as we all should. But I kind of wanted him to just encounter Charlie as Charlie, just as another human.
Now the term gorger is used throughout the book. Well, what's the origin of that word and what does it mean in the book and in general?
So that's a Romany word that means non-Romany, like non-traveller person. And I think that was just something I wanted to use a few words of Anglo-Romany in the book. It's a really interesting kind of language and world when you kind of delve into it a little bit more. And there's so many words that we use in England and English which are actually Anglo-Romany words and we don't even know. So people are kind of using words borrowed from Anglo-Romany all the time. And I found that a kind of wonderful thing to discover.
Charlie welcomes Stanley to his family home, which is a traveller site where people live in caravans and have the families, share celebrations and the like. And Stanley is welcomed by the travelling community to a certain extent, but there's prejudice there as well.
I wanted to really convey that with the adults on both sides, there's just a lot of suspicion. I think with the prejudice in the Romany world, I just kind of wanted to convey how difficult it is to trust. I think with Gorger, it kind of just means outsider and that how difficult it is to trust an outsider when you've encountered so much hostility from the outsider community and just how difficult it is to trust. So even when it's this kind of gawky 13-year-old boy, a lot of the older members of the community might see trouble sort of getting involved with the sort of outside world. But I kind of wanted it to make it a book about that, about sort of people get it in all worlds, moving beyond their circles.
So in the case of Charlie's family, it's very much about the extended family. There's the patriarch, the uncle Martin, and then there's various cousins. How did you research the traveller lifestyle, the way they speak, the way they interact, the way they live?
So I did do a lot of research. I spoke to a lot of people, first of all, and that was very helpful, just making sure I got like names right and I hadn't actually used any actual names that would be sort of real people. I think that was quite key. Yes. But names that wouldn't sound wrong as well, and just making sure, yeah, I got stuff right. But still, I'm definitely not the authority, so don't read it as a kind of bio. I may still have got stuff wrong despite my research. And then I read quite a lot of writers and books. There's an amazing writer called Damien Labarre, who's done some incredible things. His book, The Stopping Places, is a really fantastic place to go. That was the first book I read researching. And he's also one of the editors on the Traveller's Times, which is a really fantastic kind of online newspaper written by members of the Gypsy Roman Traveller communities. And it's a really sort of interesting thing to read. I think a lot of people should read it. I think it would break down a lot of prejudices.
And Naomi, did you have any hesitation about writing about the traveller lifestyle and traveller characters and creating traveller characters?
Yeah, I worried about it a lot. I thought I don't experience that prejudice because I'm not of that community, and it's kind of quite horrible here in the UK. People just throw around horrible racist terms and without really thinking. And if you just look at the statistics, there's just so much sort of direct and indirect discrimination. And I kind of thought, and that's kind of what the story is about in many ways, is sort of resisting discrimination. And I kind of did think, sort of, who am I to write about this when I don't experience this prejudice firsthand. So I worried a lot about it, but I sort of stuck with the project because it's in many ways, it is about the Anglo-Romany kind of world, but it is also, I wanted to make it a sort of a wider book about who feels welcome on the sort of ground and land of England in many ways. And I think that there's a lot of kind of hard, horrible kind of questions and arguments going on about that at the moment. And I thought, sort of, which minority community really suffers the most from that question of who's welcome on the ground of the country?
Charlie makes a strong point about that. Where they meet, as I said earlier, is in commonage. Charlie makes a very strong point about commonage and who owns Britain and who has a right to be on this very land.
Yeah, that's kind of like, it's in the title. I kind of wanted to make it that question about public space and whose country really is it? That was the kind of question I was asking. And I feel like the Romani community and all the GRT communities are really on the sort of, they really suffer the most from the sort of doubts in that question. So
The novel is also defined by a sense of time. It's set in 2003 and 2012, just as England is building up or Britain is building up to the Olympic Games. Was it important to set it in these time periods?
Yeah, I think for me, it's partly personal because that's sort of as I was growing up. So I'm sort of more or less the same age as my characters. But I think also it was a kind of wider point of, at that time in sort of 2003-ish, there was still this kind of energy around multiculturalism and diversity. And I remember sort of, there was a lot of sort of, obviously sort of scary undercurrents, as there always are in the UK, sort of post-imperial nightmarishness. But there was a real positivity as well, and a real sense that our diversity was our strength, and that though we're all different, we're all equally valuable people in this country. And that was a really kind of lovely celebratory thing that it seemed that we were sort of working towards as a country. And for me, it almost felt like that kind of narrative peaked in 2012 with the Olympic Games. And then something that was also the year that the hostile environment policy was introduced, and all these sort of go home vans that were trundling around London. And it felt like something kind of tipped there. And I feel like we haven't gone back on the right road in any way since then.
There's a section later on in the book set in Ireland. It's set in Kerry and Clare and Galway. For us, I don't know if we can believe it, even though for Charlie, it seems that Ireland, well, isn't quite paradise, but for travellers, it seems a much more positive space than Britain is. I'm not too sure whether Irish travellers would think that, but is that what you gathered from talking to English travellers?
I don't know. So I didn't really speak to anyone in the Irish traveller community in England, or really in Ireland. So I'm definitely, I don't really know how things are. I gather that it isn't great. But yeah, I don't think I really saw it as a sort of utopia for travellers. I think it was more, it was just an escape for that character, because his family and his whole network are in the UK, and I kind of thought, just, I think that comes from personal experience as well. Often I kind of leave and go to Ireland and I'm like, oh, I can breathe out now. Just the sense of space and beauty. I think I just, less about him being Romany or sort of experiencing those prejudices, but more just being able to step out of all the people that sort of are coming after him, just all the stresses of London where he is at the time.
Oh yes, no, and that's very clear. It's just for the Irish reader, we go a bit, I wish it were so. So recently on the programme, we had your dad, Kaju Ijeguruk, on to talk about Clara and the Sun. And he was talking about his wife, your mother, Lorna, and how he relied on her to read his work and nitpick really about various maybe things that he could do a little better. Do you rely on both of them when your books are done?
I do, but I also rely on I have a circle of people, other writers that I've met over the years, just in sort of my time as a bookseller and at university. And I do have a little sort of circle of friends, and yeah, my partner and my parents are sort of part of that as well. And when I've finished a draft, I will give it to all of those people and sort of hear their thoughts and their feedback. But yeah, my mum is a good edit, like good editor. She gives good feedback. So yeah.
Yeah, so and you're past the intimidation phase at this stage in your writing life, I'm sure, of having dad a Booker Prize winner and a Nobel Prize winner.
I think so. I'm quite used to it, and quite used to getting harsh criticism. I've been showing them my work since I was very young, and getting sort of proper critiques aged like 10 and things. So yeah, but I still get nervous. I try not to show anyone anything until I think it's finished, and then they'll tell me that it's not finished, but at least then it will have been at a sort of reasonable standard to show someone.
Of course, of
Yeah.
course. Well, congratulations on Common Ground. And Common Ground by Naomi Ishiguro is published by Tender Press.